when we were worshiping, the Lord had me stop and kind of took me through a long door. And what I heard him saying to me was that chaos is on the horizon, but not to be afraid. As we abide in him, he will make a path of peace. And while the world is fearful for provision, his people will know abundance. We will have a new understanding of a grateful heart, of letting incense arise day and night, and of a praise of joy.
It's great to see all you guys this morning. I also want to welcome the people that listen to the podcast. They're going to hear this now. I don't know if you guys saw this, right? Yeah. New podcast mic, $30. All of a sudden, the podcast sounds great. You know, but the thing is, if you want to say something and you want it to be heard, you should be on this side of this microphone. But it's working out. Last week, it was like 80 people listened to last week's service. I don't know who they are. Welcome. We don't know who you are. We'd love to know who you are. We're glad that what the Lord's doing among us is encouraging you. Just want to take a second and pray over the offering before I make the announcements. If you brought something to give, go ahead and hold it in your hand. And at whatever time is good for you, go ahead and put it in the basket later at the end of the service, during the service, however you feel compelled. But Father, we thank you for an opportunity to sow into what you're doing. We pray that you would continue to bless the giver and bless what you're doing here. We thank you that all the provision that we need is coming. Everything we need to release your kingdom in this neighborhood is coming to us, and we're so grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I have one heck of a financial testimony, but you have to come back next week for it, because I want to tell the leadership tonight at the leader team meeting. So I know some of you guys, that's going to be hard for you to wait. Feel free to text me. I don't normally ignore texts, but I'll ignore that one. Just keep that in mind. And it's an amazing thing of what the Lord's doing among us financially, and it's amazing to see how he's continually surprising us with the provision that we need in a season that doesn't seem like we should have it. So, you know, even as we're small in this season, as we're a church plant, as we're launching out, the Lord's coming up in big ways for us. So if I keep talking, I'll tell you, so I'll stop. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and or Instagram. There's announcements, there's things like that. You go onto Facebook, in that little search bar, just type the @ symbol and Well Church Salerton, and it'll come up, and you hit like, and then make sure you're following it. Same thing on Instagram. Also, some of you guys did this, and it really blesses me. Someone even did it twice, and that really blesses me. But we currently have 3 5-star reviews on Google. No, you're not slow.
There were, I'll help you out the church phone.
It's hard for me because I'm going into this. It's because you're trying to do it on an iPhone. But, yeah.
In your Google search, just search Church Souderson, and you'll come up with a list of churches and we'll
comment. Yeah. You're right. And the thing is, I sent this over to Tiffany. It's really great. Google sent me analytics, and like 500 people have looked at that in the last month. And a huge portion of them have been people that are searching churches near me. So there's people that want to find a church home, and we want to give them some, like, there's a little thing about us, there's a link to a website, and you know, all this stuff's in process and developing, but what I really think they need to see is, like, there's actually people that go here and they like it. You know, so let's work on that. So take a few minutes, say something nice about us on Google. And again, the joke, if you don't have something nice to say, we'd love to talk to you about that. Also, if you guys don't know, there's a whole bookshelf in here full of awesome books. Somebody set up a lending library. Take a book with you to enjoy this week. And then, so last week, did you guys enjoy last week? So I need to know something, and I've wanted to know all week. Who made the brownies? Listen, I took some for the road, and I handed them to my wife, handed them to her, driving, and I look over, and they no longer exist. So there's been a hole in my heart from the brownies.
I think I have more box mixes in my
cup. Okay, thanks. And I had to work through, the brownies touched my heart, and there must be, I don't know.
It's but, the love they were made with.
Yeah, you don't have to say it's a box mix. You're supposed to be like, yep, secret family recipe. Betty Crocker from...
I just want you to know this is accessible to all. festival from your own home.
No, you don't understand. That's not.
It's a really good box mix.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, you guys remember Laura was here, and she said some things that were awesome, and I wanna bring them up this morning. She said that she believes that this church, that's you guys, is an answer to her prayers, as she has been in prayer walking this neighborhood for years. As she's walking the neighborhood, she said something that would always happen over, right over here. She would stop, and myself and my wife and our boys would come to her mind. So she would pray for us. Then she would continually prayer walk through. So I'm trying to change her prayer walk route to go right through the building, but we'll get there. And we're talking about that kind of stuff. But she also said, you know, her and a group of the people that came with her last week, they're prayer walking this neighborhood, and she invited us to join in that process with her. And I said, well, what will this look like? And she's like, well, we could have a meal. So we could have church, we could have a meal, and then whoever wants to could hang out, take a walk around the neighborhood praying. Chris Valentin, a lot of you guys are familiar with him. For years, the Lord had him prayer walk a neighborhood, and he didn't really know why, and the Lord was giving him specific information for each person, for each household, as he walked. He was seeing visions, all this stuff. And then what suddenly happened to him was the township or the local government was doing something with all the parents that were on probation. That's what I'm looking for. But they needed someone to watch the kids. So they actually went and found Chris, and they said, hey, will you do in this old gymnasium, will you have all these kids every Wednesday night? Because we need to teach their parents that are on probation how not to get back on probation. You know, and so it opened up this whole opportunity for him. And even out of that group, he's adopted a child. He adopted a son. He saw the Lord move it in that. So, you know, prayer walking, and we talked about this. Prayer is not the only thing we do, but it's the first thing we do. We're blessed that someone else started it for us. I know some of our ladies were meeting here and praying, which is also awesome. So real quick, who might stick around in prayer walk one Sunday? You got a half a hand, half a hand. Prayer roll. You could use this. You could put it on here and you could. All right. So anyway, so I'll get with her and we'll try to set something up. So if you missed her message last week, I really encourage you to listen to it. At the end of her message, she suggested that over the week, we take some time to read 1 Corinthians 13 and spend a little time sharing about that this week. So I love you guys a lot. Has anyone done that? That would like to share something this week? No problem. No problem at all. I want to encourage you guys to do it. I'm going to share just a little bit. I actually printed it in the bulletin thing this week. The actual 1 Corinthians 13. And I want to just give you guys the questions that she asked, you know, so when you're doing it. So read it in a version that's not familiar to you. So I put the New Living Translation. And she said, ask God to reveal the truth of your heart. Ask him to reveal the truth of the state of your mind. And ask what mindsets he wants you to change. Now, this is what we've been talking about. We've been talking about changing the way we think and seeing our life transform. And for me, here's what I learned. That I have some growth to do in this area. My poor sub at work, that's the guy that carries my route when I'm not around. Happens every once in a while. You know, I got a record of wrongs with that guy. I do. I'm hard on that guy. You know, and I am purposeful to try to love him. He's a young guy and he's got some ideas in his head that aren't correct ideas. And we've talked about them, like, you know, being a one woman kind of guy. You know, it's not an abnormal thought for us, but it's abnormal for the world. You know, pick a girl out, marry her, make her your wife, and stick with that. And we've talked about that kind of stuff. But at the same time, I'm like, ah, you know, he never goes to that business because it's out of the way. He brings it back for me to do. And I'm keeping this record of wrongs, you know? So I'm learning in that. So anyway, let's plan on doing that this week. And maybe in a couple weeks we'll have the opportunity you guys can come up and just share a little bit about what the Lord is telling you. So a few weeks ago, we talked about being a people of prayer. Prayer is not the only thing we do, but it's the first thing we do. And we talked about our role as Christians. And I don't want to be confused about my role as a Christian. You probably don't want to be confused about your role as a Christian. If we're going to understand the part we play, We need to understand this. Remember, there's two plans at work on the earth. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Living Bible says the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. And I want to give a point of clarity because it's confusing. But it's not. If it comes to steal, kill, and destroy, it's not what God's trying to do in your life. If it comes to give life and life more abundant, it is what God's trying to do in your life. And if something's happening on the earth and it's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, it's not God. God's coming to bring life and life more abundant. That's why Jesus came. So there's confusion, and I'll say it like this. So I have a son currently diagnosed with a disability. That disability and the situation around that disability have driven me into a deeper relationship with God. So it's confusing. Because some people may say, God made that disability, caused that suffering, in order to make me closer to Him. And we just want to look at this from a big picture perspective. If, as a father, I cause my child to suffer, is that a good father? Right. So God would never destroy my son's life to bring about goodness in my life. A lot of times people are sick or hurt, and they want to know what God's trying to teach them. And God's trying to teach them that He's good and that He can help them in that situation. So keep that in mind as we move forward. Also, our mandate is clear. There's two plans at work on the earth. We resist one plan and we partner with the other. We talked about intercession and prayer. A couple weeks ago, we talked about community, specifically praying for one another. And I'm really grateful for you guys that are praying for me. And we've also been talking about how in order to change the way we live, we actually need to change the way we think. And we've been reading Romans 12 nearly every week for quite some time. And I thought we would start there again today, but I thought maybe we would get past verse 2. You know, and see maybe what verse 3 says. Are you guys good moving into that? So it's going to go slow. What's that? Don't rush it. So we've been probably 10 weeks on verse 1 and 2. We've looked at some other verses, you know, but I think we're getting it. We change the way we think, and then our life changes. We talked about, you know, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but we talked about in a renovation, some things are not part of the future for that place. In the renovation of our lives, some things, some ideas, some thought processes are not part of our future moving forward. You know, there was a big giant pillar right here. It's not here anymore because we would have to walk around it. You know, in the old building, there was a blue car that we all walked around to get into the building. Do you guys remember this? If you drive by on your way home today, the blue car will still be there. I'm glad the blue car isn't part of our future. So anyway, we're going to read some of this, Romans 12, verse 1, and we're going to really get ahead of what we've been reading. So I'm just going to start. I beseech. Okay, I'm going to stop there and talk for a second. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech. It's a fun word. We don't use it. Anybody, you should add it to your vocabulary. Try it on your non-Christian friends. You know, and so I looked it up. Beseech, to ask someone urgently and fervently. Now, those are some buzzwords today, urgent and fervent. Keep those in your head. To do something, to implore, to entreat. So, you know, basically he's saying, hey, I'm asking for action, and it's urgent, and it's fervent. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God, mind renovation, life transformation. You know, and I just want to use this space again as another example. It was an adult daycare, and there was people that worked there. And I like to think that if we invited one of those people in to see it, and I'm sure it was nice as an adult daycare, but they would be amazed at the transformation of what it's become. You know, now it's a space for a community of people to encounter Jesus through the teaching of His Word, intimate worship, and fellowship. Its purpose has changed, therefore the inside, the thought processes are starting to change. I mean, if we came in here with the idea that we were running an adult daycare, this church would not look the way it looks. those processes change. And that's how our life should be, by engaging the Word and the Spirit every day and changing a little bit every day over time has a big impact. Somebody that knows you 15, 20 years ago should be surprised by how much you've changed. Remember we talked about my step record, 40,000 steps. I didn't take all 40,000 steps that day at once. It was a bad day at work. It was one step at a time. Next thing I know, I'm getting all these emails from Samsung. You're amazing. You've broken your fitness records. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to hear this. Anyway, but it's one step at a time. So I'm going to continue reading Romans 12. If you're reading in the New King James, which I am, there's a heading, not something that Paul wrote, but was put in there by the translator. And it says, serve God with spiritual gifts. And then so Paul says in verse 3, for I say through the grace given me, and I'm going to stop there. That's a weird phrase, for the grace given me. You know, and really what he's saying by this statement is this. He's saying, by the grace given me, what I'm about to say did not originate in my mind, but it originated in heaven with God. That's the grace given him as he's writing scripture. What he's about to say is not something he thought of. It originated in the heart of God. So in verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given me, to everyone, who's everyone?
Everyone.
Are you part of everyone?
Yes.
And everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. So verse 2, change the way you think. And verse 3 is like, hey, here's a good place to start. Start by everyone not thinking of themselves more highly as they ought to. And the word soberly doesn't just mean think seriously. It actually has an opposite. The opposite of sober is? Came way too easy for you guys. The opposite of sober is drunk. Now, let's talk a little bit about that. How does a drunk person act? Hey guys, watch this. You know, another guy I listened to, he was talking about this guy who had a little bit to drink and he decided he was going to go off a ski jump, even though he didn't know how to ski. And he ended up like in a body cast. And I forget what his point was, but I remember the story, which is probably what will happen to you guys today. But some people, drunk people often forget facts. They forget how to treat people. They forget about danger and safety. They forget that there's things that they don't know how to do. Yeah. And so before we read the next few verses, I want to connect Paul's statement by the grace given to me with the ministry gifts we're about to read. If you have been given these gifts to serve the body, it's by grace. Not because you're amazing. Now, some of you guys are amazing.
Thank you.
Thanks. I was talking to other people, but yeah. No, sorry. But here's the thing, like any gift that we have coming out of us is by grace. And we want our gifts, especially our ministry gifts, to originate in heaven, not with us. I can get by on my own talent sometimes. Like I could sing and play a song, but it's not going to be meaningful engagement with the Lord for people. Some people might tell me they liked it. I use this analogy a lot. Kat and I used to lead worship at a place above Reading, and one day this lady was like, you guys are like Beauty and the Beast worship. Kathy sings so pretty, and you. And I'm like, okay, all right, good. That's good. The Beast in the movie was pretty cool, though. So, you know, whatever. It was her prophetic word for me. But here's the thing, like you can't, to operate, you want your ministry gift to come from heaven. And so, by the grace given to you, because Jesus makes us amazing. Before Jesus, actually, we weren't that amazing. And that's the perspective. That's the sobering perspective. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, but to remember that Jesus came and changed what we are and is changing what we are. We're a work in progress. We are the house that God is building. Remember, we read those scriptures. And so we're in process. We're under construction. So I'll keep reading verse 4. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Did y'all see that it was in there? I didn't put it there, it was there. So our gifts are because of the grace given to us, they originate in heaven. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. If you're reading in the New King James, the next heading is amazing. It says, behave like a Christian. So like a lot of people want to know how Christians should behave. This actually says, behave like a Christian. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. In brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do you guys remember we talked about prayer assignments? We talked about there's people that the Lord wants you to be praying for, and sometimes it's that person. It's that person that's making your life not as fun as it should be, causing you uncomfortability. Is that a word? Discomfort, uncomfortability, uncomfortability. It's a good one. I'm going to get it on a shirt. Anyway, discomfort, that could be your prayer assignment. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, I wanted to read through all that. I think in the next few weeks, we may break down a little bit of that. But I wanted to shift gears this morning for just a minute as we continue to talk about living as a Christian. And I think there's something to be said, like somehow we've invented this imaginary gauge where we put Christians. Some of them are like, just kind of nominal. We use this word nominal, not really engaging, just a guy coming to church trying to make his life better, you know, not really excited about anything. And then we got these people on the other end that I don't know, there's this term, you guys might not use it, super spiros, you know, they'd be floating around with God and above the building if they could. They're super excited, they're at everything, they're just ready to receive from the Lord. And like, I think there's value to all these ranges. You know, and I think somehow it's kind of like Star Trek. Can I go there with you guys? I'm going there. So you got your people that like, they've watched a couple Star Trek movies. You know, they know who Spock is. They can do that thing with their hands. You know, and maybe they've caught a couple episodes of one of the series. And then you got your people that like, they speak Klingon. They know all the warp drive capacities of all the starships. They know all the backstory of all the characters and they've watched it all, you know, and they go to the conventions and somehow we put Christians on kind of the same meter. Like here you are in one place and I think we have this misconception where when there's a new Christian, like they're excited and like really people are just waiting for them to calm down. And it's this weirdness, like don't worry. They'll calm down. And I think it's like somehow we're supposed to go from passionate lovers of God to just getting by day. You know, in our culture, let's look at marriage. Our society sends some interesting messages about marriage. And one of the things that they would say, I hope you guys can see this as I say it. They send this message that you fall in love and you have no control. They send this message that there's a season in the beginning that's so exciting, you can't help but get swept into it. They send, and I'm not saying it's not exciting in the beginning when you fall in love. They say you fall in and out of love all willy-nilly. Like one second you're happily married, and then you're walking by another person and now you're in love with them. And this is kind of, like you watch movies, like guys are walking through a restaurant, they walk by a lady, ooh, I'm in love. and I'm passionate and I'm all in. You know, and it's like somehow this little baby shooting you with these arrows and you have no control over your actions. You know, and this is how our society views marriage. And one of the things, so you guys know, like, we found the dog in the woods, and then my house went dog crazy, and now we have a dog, and he's great, and there's a place in my heart I didn't know exist for that dog, we're fine. And so anyway, but in this process, Kathy was watching this show about breeders that breed rare dogs, and she's watching it, and I'm ignoring it. And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're going to talk about dogs breeding, we may have to edit the podcast. So in Scotland, there's this rare breed of dogs, couldn't tell you what it's called. And there was like one female that was purebred and like seven males. And so what they tried to do was like have play dates and see which males she may prefer, right? And so after all this agony, these people, it's so funny, they're like sitting in their Scottish mansion and the woman's like crying because she doesn't know which dog to pick for her dog. She wants to do the right thing to make the breed go forward in the earth or whatever. Anyway, so she finally zeroes in on this one guy and the time comes and they get the dogs together, and neither one of them was interested at all. Like, here's a dog saying, hey, I'm not. Like, we look at dogs as things that can't control this, and then somehow our culture has transferred that to men. Like, you can't control how you love, who you love, and when. And dogs sometimes are just like, nah, no thanks. Anyway, all right. So, however, we know this is not how it works. Some people that you know have thriving marriages, and every day they're more in love. Sure, maybe there was an exciting season in the beginning, but I will tell you, there's no lack of excitement in a long-term marriage. You know, I know somebody just passed 40 years, I just passed 20 years, and you know, I'm talking to like young guys at work, and they just act like I must be bored out of my gourd. And I'm just like living this dream with this woman who's living this dream with me. I don't have to, I mean, it's like these guys go out and they like strut around to try to find a woman, and I got a woman and I just have life with her. It's great. And so anyway, but we know that this isn't the way that it works, like the way the world portrays it. And somehow I think we've transferred that to God. Like here you are, you're in this long-term relationship with God. You're not supposed to break up with God. You're supposed to come to Jesus, come into a covenant, hang out with Jesus, be redeemed, forgiven, and now your life with God starts. And so we somehow look at it like, okay, it's real exciting in the beginning, and then somehow we gotta toil to make it exciting in here, and maybe if I make it to the end, I get to go to heaven or whatever. And it's like, God's passionate and he's made you to be passionate and like somehow there's something going on in here where you know we are like all in our feelings and emotions. But anyway, so you know, sometimes we're swept into a hard season and we feel disconnected. You know, we use terms like mountains and valleys and deserts and wilderness. There's also another word that Christians use that doesn't make sense to the rest of the world. Well, that and washed in the blood. Don't tell people you're washed in the blood as like your opening line. Cause I'm gonna, they want to wash you off. They want to help you. And so, but we often say this term on fire. Like he's on fire. She's on fire. I worked at a ministry. I interned with a ministry out of high school and they did these youth conventions all over the country called Acquire the Fire. We sold a devotional book called 56 Days Ablaze. We used giant pyrotechnics in the stage, right? Because we were getting kids on fire. And like, it's a strange one. You know, I heard a story. I'll share this with you. Some young guys were going to England and they were going to like do some prayer and have some meetings. And the Lord was leading them there. They were on a missions trip and they got to the customs officer. Now, if anybody that travels, when the customs officer asks you, you just say, hey, I'm here as a tourist. Like, that's what you do. You don't say, I'm here to do this, I'm here to do that. These guys are like, we're here to set England on fire. And he's like, well, you're not going in. We don't need any fires, thanks. And he sent them home. But it's like, we use this term on fire, and it's like, where did that come from? Now, there are some scriptures, yeah, but there's one thing that I want to share with you guys today, because we actually read it in the passages we read, and you might have missed it, and that's okay. There is a reference to fire in our text. Let me read verse 10 to 13 again. Look for the reference. Are you ready? Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and giving to hospitality. Don't worry, I'm going to tell you where it is.
Fervent.
Fervent. Good plan. Did I inflect my voice?
No.
Good job. All right. So fervent. Now here's the thing. This isn't really interesting word because it's in the Bible twice. It's the Greek word zeo, not zeo. Zeo's life. Some of you guys know, have a band called Zeo. This is zeo. Z-E-O. Fervent. All right, we'll talk about that later.
No, I was just talking about Zeo being one of my brother's favorite
bands. Yeah. All right. So, zeo, to boil with heat, to be hot. To boil with heat, to be hot. Fervent in spirit. To boil with heat, to be hot in spirit. It's often used in Greek writings with water. It's the word they use to describe boiling water. There's metaphors in Greek literature used in boiling anger. Love, zeal, for what is good or what is bad. It's passion. Fervent in spirit, zeal for what is good. It's a primary verb to be hot, boil liquids, or grow, or glow of solids. To be fervent. So, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, boiling, on fire, fervent, in your spirit, passionate in your spirit, serving the Lord. So I want to ask you to consider today that the normal Christian life is passionate in spirit. You know, there's going to be some bad days. You got bad days with your spouse, you got bad days with your friends, but you're passionate still. Like, some of you guys fight pretty passionately with your spouse. Some of you, your spouse pretty passionately fights with you. Anyway, so, fervent in spirit, on fire in your spirit, boiling. And I'm not saying crazy. I'm just saying passionate. All right, so that's going to be different for everybody. I just don't want you to think that I need you to be up here flag dancing to prove that you're passionate. You don't have to go outside with a megaphone to prove that you're passionate about your relationship with Jesus. So, here's the question. If we're meant to be on fire, passionate in spirit, why do we feel so cool sometimes? All right, so I'm going to ask another question. What are the things that you need to build a fire? Three things to make fire.
Fuel.
Oxygen.
Air.
Ignition.
Yeah, well, that's the spiritual version. We're talking about actually lighting something on fire. But thank you.
Fuel, heat, and oxygen.
All right. So, I'll give it to you in the order I have it written down. I put spark, oxygen, and fuel. Right? Build a fire. So let's go ahead for the sake of analogy. Someone shouted out Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, all that stuff. We're just going to call that the spark and the oxygen. So the fuel is really interesting. Let's say God provides the spark and the oxygen. We feel cold in our relationship with God, maybe because we aren't gathering fuel. It's worth considering. You know, and I asked this question. This is a question that I ask myself, you know, and I'm going to ask you, do you want to know why I come to church every Sunday? Right. Okay, so before I was the pastor, I knew you guys were going
to
say that, so here.
I had to do it.
It says, no, it's not because I'm the pastor and I have to. Because I went to church nearly every Sunday before I was the pastor. It's not because I'm religious. It's not because I think God won't bless me or because I think I have to. Do you want to know why I listen to podcasts, read my Bible, read books, pray in the Spirit, sing worship songs, and come to church almost every Sunday?
You need fuel.
I need fuel. And I think a lot of times we disconnect from the things that fuel us and keep us passionate. Mm-hmm. Kathy and I just did this thing, and I recommend it to any married person. It's from Danny Silk, and it's a 21-day marriage intensive. You know, not because we were in dire straits, but because we wanted improvement and we wanted to feel more connected. And so, you know, it's like actually putting focus on the relationship, doing things that put focus on the relationship, understanding the people involved in the relationship. We took personality tests and all kinds of fun stuff, and we learned more about each other. But most of all, what helped was actually doing the work together and spending the time together. And both of us saying, hey, I'm interested in this relationship, so I'm going to block out this time and focus on it. You know, one of the things, you guys know, I'll pray for revival. I want revival. You want revival. People want revival, and people talk about revival. And I think we're going to see God move like never before on the earth. But one of the reasons I think people are so focused on revival is it's a big pile of free fuel. Instead of going out and picking up sticks, you just show up, and there it all is. You know, and so I want to encourage you, you know, as you're longing for revival, to gather sticks. Find out what works for you, what fuels you, what helps you have that fire inside of you and be on fire. You can find whatever kind of fuel it is and start your own personal revival. That your relationship with God can be red hot, passionate, and exciting. You know, so my challenge for you this week is that you think soberly about yourself. Access your fervency, your relationship with God. Figure out what would help you be passionate. Yeah, whole bookshelf of books in there. Some of you are like, I'm not book people. I wasn't either. But I found out it was good fuel. So figure out this week where you can get some fuel. If you guys want to stand up, I'm going to pray. And then we'll hang out for a bit.
So, pray about the fires in California.
Yeah. Let me pray, and then we'll do that. Well, I'll do that again. So Father, we thank you that you're a passionate God.
Yes,
and you've created us to be a passionate people, and that you've called us into a relationship with you. Lord, I just pray that you would show us all how to find fuel to drive the relationship with you, that you would lead us into your word, that you would lead us into, different channels of teachers and books and podcasts and all kinds of fellowship with the other Christians that talk about you to fuel that fire, that we can have our own personal fuel. And also, Father, we lift up the state of California to you, especially the areas affected by the wildfires. Lord, we pray for those fires to cease. We pray for that ground to cool. And Lord, we pray for provision to be there. Lord, that the people, that your people in that area and in the nation would step up big for the people that have lost homes and businesses. Father, we pray that you would bring in the kind of people that could share your love in that situation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, have a good week.